Hello, we'd like to welcome our listener.
Hi, Mom.
To Dice Guys, number 6, audio podcast for October 15, 2011. Today on the Dice Guys, Mike and Jason discuss how to pick your games for game night. And board game marketing, is advertising for board games growing or not growing? Because board games are growing. Also, they pick their games of the week. And, of course, there will be Brain Flakes.
Brain Flakes.
Oh, sorry, zombie. Brain Flakes are for gamers. No, man.
Trying to kill me.
All right. So, Mike.
I'm Mike.
How's your week been?
My week has been pretty good. I think I did a lot of work on the website still. There's a couple little minor things to do still, but content is growing and the cartoons are there. Everything's kind of flowing along. So,
excellent.
I think it's working
excellent.
Out pretty well. What about you?
Yeah, my week's been, I put up an article on my blog, and the rest of the week has been pretty much devoted to getting upset and angry over the political stuff that's been going on, which we're not allowed to talk about.
No, we don't want to talk about
this,
that.
Yet. Yeah, because that just derails everything.
Yeah. Unless the game itself is political.
Right. So we're going to avoid that. So otherwise, this week has just been frustrating day job and a little bit of writing.
Oh, but it's but it ended out on a good note, though, because we just came home from like 2 game stores.
We did. Today has been productive in the sense that...
we spent money.
We spent money.
We helped the economy.
Yes, we did. there's a new game store in the area called Go Games, and... And that was a pretty cool little place. And the guy running it, he's a game developer as well. And so hopefully soon we're going to be playtesting his new game.
Body Count.
Called Body Count. And we're looking forward to that.
We'll tell you about
it. Looks really interesting. Right, absolutely. We'll tell you a little bit more once we talk to him and get permission.
Yeah.
We also went to a little shop of games. And the reason we're mentioning these game stores is because... previous experience, customer service hasn't always been that great at certain game stores, but these two were awesome.
They are awesome. These two games, if you don't know, are in the Oklahoma City area. So if you're ever in the area, just look them up.
Little Shop of Games and Go Games. Absolutely.
Excellent people working there.
Yep. Very, very helpful, very informative, and just fun people to talk to. Yeah, that's pretty much been the week. So we should probably slide off into Brain Flakes.
Brain Flakes!
Brains. Okay, to start it off, you found a really cool article.
I did find a cool article. As you know, I hang out a lot on Google+.
Right.
And I really love the way you can explore and find people. It's a totally different experience from Facebook. You follow a discussion, you see somebody say something, you click on their name, you can add them to a circle if you like what they're saying. And I found this person, her name is Diane Rees. And she posted about an article she put on her blog called the Instructional Design Fusions blog. And her company is named Atomic Meme. And what this article is, it was called Gateway to Board Games. Now, it's not just a list, though, of places you can find board games or information about board games, because her take on things, because she's an instructional design person, she's looking at it from an educational perspective. How does the game work in an educational setting? Can a teacher use it to do something with?
Which is a great idea.
Yeah. Or is the game useful? And she covers a lot more than just board games. She covers video games. outdoors games that you might play on the playground.
Excellent.
All kinds of things. But this particular one was about board games, and she was looking for places that you could find more information about board games themselves so you could eventually learn about learning games. Mm-hmm. And she covers in the article an article about the American Association of School Libraries and how board games relate to them. There's also a bit about projects that are being done by the San Diego State University and some master's students there in the educational technology program, and they build board games as part of their master's program that they use for educational purposes with their with students, or will or would if they were teaching. But and there's even also links to some videos that some of our listeners might be familiar with, such as the Board Games with Scott videos and a couple other things. So there's a lot of information there. I'll have the link up on the show notes, so you can go check it out, and you can go see if there's anything there you haven't seen before that might spark your interest or teach you something more about what's happening in the board game world.
Well, to roll it back just a tiny bit to what you were saying about her going even outside of board games to playground games and mm-hmm. stuff like that, one of the reasons that we do this podcast and the website is because we like the idea of the social aspect
mm-hmm.
of board games and such that you don't necessarily get from other, like, video games and that sort of thing. And I think it's fantastic, the idea of taking the joy of games to that length, to the playground, to the board games, you know, mm-hmm. classroom games. I think that's awesome.
Yep. So that was one thing that caught my eye this week. Anything else catch your eye while you were surfing the net?
Yeah, well, we have our science brain flake, but first I want to discuss
mm-hmm.
Stupidity.
Hey, we can do that on this podcast.
Believe me, there are people who would think that that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one specific thing, and I'm sure that if you listen to morning radio or watch the news or whatever, you have to have heard this story. So this story is about the family, man, woman, and their infant child stuck in a corn maze.
Stuck in a corn maze.
Yes, yes.
I think I read something about this.
Yeah, lost in a corn maze and ended up calling 911. to get out. Now there are multiple points where there's a problem with this story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start with the fact that they were 25 feet away from the exit.
Yeah.
Without realizing it.
And
now that's easy to do in a corn maze.
Yeah, but apparently they didn't think they could walk through the corn.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, now, it's a corn force field.
My initial reaction, and yours as well, I'm sure, is, okay, just walk in a straight line through the corn.
Yeah.
You're going to find the edge of the corn maze.
Yeah.
Now, come to find out, this infant they're carrying is like 3 weeks old.
Okay.
Bad idea to begin with. Yeah. Taking a three-week-old baby out through a corn maze.
Mm-hmm.
That was wise. All right, but now I feel like I'm being a little bit of a dick here. Okay, so I'm trying to give him something of a benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Pushing through corn can be kind of painful, so you don't want to take your three-week-old baby through the corn, possibly. But then, there's two of them there. One of them could open the way, let the one with the baby through. Yeah.
Maybe they thought they would drop the kid by accident and he'd be lost out there and just become Malachi.
Well, that brings up the other thing. If they've watched the original Children of the Corn recently,
mm-hmm.
then I could understand. See, it was starting to get dark,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't know if anybody else was around, and they could have been getting the whole, you know, Children of the Corn Malachi feeling going on.
It's possible, but I think they were just a little dumb.
I think it is quite possible that they did not think this all the way mm-hmm. through. See how I'm being nicer so I don't feel like a dick?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can be that way.
Okay.
I have no problem thinking that Maybe they need to, I don't know, have a phone with a GPS on it, something. Well, they had a phone because they dialed 911.
They had a phone with them.
Apparently didn't have GPS, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway.
Well, if they're lost in the corn maze, how the hell are they going to use a GPS? Yeah, I guess it's a good thing they're still not out there because harvest time would come. It'd be nasty.
Okay. Now, one of the reasons we're bringing this up is...
Yeah.
Now, you're wondering, how the hell does this brain flake tie in to gamers or gamer interests?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if they played Dungeons and Dragons or even did puzzle book mazes or played the little ball and wooden ball game Labyrinth,
mm-hmm.
you know, they could have easily figured out how to get out of a maze.
And especially a corn maze.
Especially a corn maze. Well, honestly, it comes right down to the fact, once again, walk through the damn corn.
Walk through the corn.
Yeah, it's not a brick wall. Anyway, enough of the stupid stuff. Let's go on to our science brain flake.
Okay.
Turns out that...
Science!
back in 2006, they started some experiments. They being, I don't know, some scientists. The thing I read wasn't very specific. Mm-hmm. But they have proven that ecstasy, the club drug ecstasy, and certain antidepressants have a 100% chance of killing off cancer cells.
Awesome.
Awesome and not awesome. Okay, because the levels that they tested it at would be lethal to a human being.
Okay, well that's...
So it gets rid of the cancer, but it kills you.
But you have a lot of fun doing it.
Oh, getting there is a blast. Okay, but...
It's got to feel better than chemo.
It's got to. All right, scientists at the University of Western Australia have been able to chemically modify the ecstasy by swapping some atoms around to where it only requires 1 milligram of ecstasy to kill off these cancer cells.
Okay, do you still get a buzz from it?
I have no idea. Honestly, it doesn't say. I would like to think so.
Yeah, if you're fighting cancer.
You're fighting cancer, you should be having some kind of fun.
Yeah.
But in particular, the cancer cells it works on is leukemia, lymphoma, and melanoma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before anybody gets excited and thinks, ooh, an excuse to do ecstasy. Okay, it's... at minimum 10 years away before human trials.
Which I think is ridiculous because I can go find this stuff and probably start trials tomorrow. I don't know if I have cancer.
But not in the dosage, not in the right dosage, you could.
Yeah, could. But you know, more is usually better, right?
No. No, I have to tell you, no. It's not.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
So, as responsible podcasters, we say, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
The scientists know what they're doing. You don't. All right? As a side note, the article also mentions that psilocybin, the wonderful stuff in magic mushrooms, it also helps cure the, not cure, but calm the nerves of terrified terminal patients.
Hmm.
Imagine that.
You know what else helps terrified terminal patients?
Hmm.
Glow sticks. I think glow sticks. I mean, if they're going to pass this stuff out, they might as well pass out glow sticks.
House music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get the bass thumping.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. That would be an interesting hospital, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, ecstasy. Good when applied by scientists. Bad when applied by yourself. So, Mike, speaking of good and bad choices, we're going to do your game pick of the week.
Oh, I had one more brain flake.
Can I do one more? Oh, that's right. You had one more brain. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this one flaked off my brain because it kind of went with something that we did a couple podcasts ago where we were talking about brick and mortar stores and how they can They should come up with ideas.
Oh, right. Sleep deprivation episode. Mm-hmm. Number four. Yeah.
Yep. And they should come up with ideas to combat internet sales and bring mm-hmm. people into their stores. And I came across an article that was talking about a bookstore in Seattle's Fremont neighborhood,
okay.
which just opened up. It's called the Book Larder. And what they're doing is they sell cookbooks. That's their niche. But something cooler than that, they have a kitchen and a dining table in the store. So you can try out recipes right there. That's something you can't really do on the internet. You don't have the book yet.
My question is, do they supply the groceries or do you bring your own groceries in and just use their kitchen and equipment?
I imagine they might have some there for maybe demos and everything, but you know, the store people can demo things themselves, but I imagine they probably let people try out a recipe if they brought their own things. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Hey, next time I go to Seattle, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it didn't really say it in the article, but yeah, the Book Larder, and they're trying something different to get people in the store, and I thought it was kind of cool since it went along with what we were saying.
Very cool.
So that was my brain flakes. That was it.
Excellent.
So.
All right. Well, yeah, that's very cool, and yay, Seattle. Just one more thing that says you're awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so
game
now,
pick of the week.
Let's go back to the game pick of the week. Which I screwed up.
Good for you.
Yay!
Yeah.
And all right, so Mike, what have you chosen this week?
Yeehaw, I got snake ass.
This week I chose... it's right here.
Oh, Lord.
It is called Forbidden Island. It's by a company called Game Right.
Mike?
Yes?
That looks like it's still wrapped in plastic.
It is still wrapped up. You're an observant person.
Did you just pull that out of the bag that we brought home from the game store?
I bought this today, yes. It looks really cool. Here, let me read you from the back here. It says, "Dare to discover Forbidden Island. Join a team of fearless adventurers on a do-or-die mission to capture four sacred treasures from the ruins of this perilous paradise."
And does it actually say it in that accent?
Well, it's in italics, so I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay, emphasis. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah. "Your team will have to work together and make some pulse-pounding maneuvers, as the island will sink beneath every step," because, you know, we're heavy people. "Race to collect the treasures and make a triumphant escape before you are swallowed into the watery abyss." Now, isn't that dramatic? I love it.
Yeah, that's very dramatic.
Mm-hmm. It's for 2 to 4 players, and ages 10 and up, and it comes in this cool metal box here. It's just awesome. And I haven't opened up yet, but the parts look pretty cool. It's got pawns and cards. And
so you're picking a game that you haven't played yet.
That's my pick of the week. It's a game I haven't played yet. Yeah, I am so confident in this game, because it says on the front it's a Mensa Select, that I'm going to make it my pick of the week. So,
all right, Vegas edition of... The
Take a chance.
Dice guys.
Take a chance.
We're going to gamble.
Yeah. Now, well, here's the deal. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking this week. All right. You guys out there in podcast land can buy it or not.
Comment on it.
Yeah, based on this. Next week, I'll kind of do a mini review and tell you if I was wrong or not for picking it this week.
All right.
Okay. And at that point, we'll either pick another one or you'll know at that point that you can buy this. But I'm telling you, it looks really cool. It's got some hefty weight to it, and it's not very expensive. It's only $18, which is a pretty good price for a little party game. So,
yeah.
So Game Right's Forbidden Island, whether it's sealed or not, I pick it this week.
All right. So, well, that's your pick of the week. And so that kind of leads into our first little feature here about...
Picking games.
How do you pick games for your game night?
I pick games right out of the bag.
Obviously. No, we're bringing this up because when we were younger, back in the Stone Age, this process would sometimes take up to an hour.
Or more.
In
fact, sometimes we would have to stop. Sometimes we would have to stop choosing the game we were playing and choose the place we want to eat, which also would take some
time.
Yeah. And then come back to the game picking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would sit in a circle and basically someone would say, "So, what are we going to play?" And someone would say, I don't know. I don't know, Mike. What do you want to play? Mike would say, I don't know, Jason. What do you want to play? And it would go in a circle around all of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
The only person who had a definite voice was, should we name him? I have in other places. Greg.
Yeah, friend of us.
And amazingly, he had a lot of patience to put up with us because he had this game that he wanted to play, which is Civilization, which is a fun game. But it can take what seems like days.
Weeks.
To finish this game.
Years.
And not quite. But it took a long time. So we weren't up for it on a regular basis, but Greg always wanted to play it. So it would be, I don't know, what do you want to play, Mike? I don't know, what do you want to play, Jason? I don't know, what do you want to play, Greg? Civilization. Okay, what do you want to play, Gary? And we would just kind of skip Greg.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Civilization was a once in a 3 month game.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So the problem was, we spent more time trying to pick a game than actually playing games.
Sometimes we did, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we think that there's a possibility that other people have trouble picking these games. And so we were thinking, well, what would be a more efficient, easier way of picking your games for game night?
Now, one thing that I've done before, okay, is everybody, because you all have a bunch of games usually around. People have brought them in their bags or you have them in the closet. Yeah, if you've
got multiple gamers, there's lots of games in
there. So everybody picks one out of the bag, you know, picks one of their own games, and they kind of write it down on a slip of paper or however you want to do it. And you put it into a bowl and you pick what game it's going to play.
Or you can decide, like if you have an even number of people, say six people, you can roll a six-sided die with a number assigned to each person. Like that. You know, to bring dice back into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to bring dice into it. Why do you have to do that all the time? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're the dice guys. But anyway.
Not the paper guys, Mike.
We're not the random slip of paper guys.
But that's one way we've done it before, and there's other ways.
Yeah, you can think about your time span that you're probably logically going to be able to play in. You know, if you've got 5 or 6 hours, then you can pick that war strategy game that
the game that takes 3 hours to set up and 4 hours to play.
Right, Arkham Horror. You know, it does not quite that long, but I mean, with setup, it's probably a good 2 hour game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but if you know you've got like an hour, hour and 15 minutes before you guys all plan on heading out to hit a movie, then maybe you ought to think about hitting up a couple of quick shot games. You know, ones that take 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that kind of narrows your choices down.
And we're sure most people out there listening to this have this down. You have your favorite games, you have games you want to play, but sometimes you're going to be sitting in a circle saying, what do you want to play? And it's going to get old. Probably faster than you get old.
Well, and ultimately, we have discovered that that is the best solution.
It is.
Get old.
Get old. Mm-hmm.
Because the older you get, the less time you have to play games. So it really limits your choices.
Yeah. You don't have time.
You don't have time to play those long-form games, you know? So it's pretty much, let's see, we're here to game. Let's say, yeah, why don't you pull out that dice game? That takes about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's about the time I have before I have to go to work.
Yeah, or before I pass out, or, you know.
Yeah. I don't understand that, really. I had so much more time when I was younger, and yet I did a lot more, it feels like.
It is crazy. I mean, okay, so what? There was school, work, sleep, occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there was still plenty of time to play games.
Plenty of time.
Now you have work.
Yeah.
And sleep.
That's pretty much it.
And far less time to play games.
Yeah, surfing the internet. That's about
it. Well, of course, now there's this. There's the website and the podcast for us. But
But yeah, it's odd. So you'll run out of time to play games. You don't have enough time to be wasting picking the games. Just pull one out and play it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. So our answer to how to pick games is...
Yeah, get old.
Get old. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not very helpful either.
Yeah, I know. Well, speaking of picking games, your pick of the week is...
See, it worked for you. It wasn't interrupted with something else. Anyway. Okay. My game of the week is Zombies with 3 exclamation points.
Excellent.
Okay.
I think the 3 exclamation points really adds to it.
Yeah, I think so too. This is basically a tile game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no board. You lay down tiles as the game progresses, and these tiles get filled with a horde of zombies.
Okay.
And you have to make it through. The idea is that you either have to kill off and collect 25 zombies.
Okay. Sounds easy.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because why?
Because if you die... You have to give up half of your total of zombies.
Oh, okay.
And start over in the town square again.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And you die a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're facing off against hordes of zombies. Let's put it this way. This box comes with 100 zombies in it.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic figurines. So far, I have yet to play a single game where we haven't needed more zombies than came in the box. Also, so far, I think only one time out of all the numerous times that we played this game, there's only been one time that somebody's won by getting 25 zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't that you?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. The other way to win the game is if the helipad tile comes up, the first person to make it to the center of that pad and be able to stay there till the beginning of their next turn
wins
the game. They escape on the helicopter. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, all through this game are different tiles with buildings.
Yeah.
That contain health and bullets. And there are cards for weapons that you can get that give you... You know, that you can pick up if you make it to a certain location,
mm-hmm.
like the hardware store.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick up the chainsaw. Fun little weapon to have against zombies. But basically, the idea is make it through this cityscape that's being overrun by zombies, make it to the helipad, or just kill off large amounts of zombies, and the whole time figure out some way to screw over everybody else so that they don't win the game.
And you can do that in some fun ways, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have a link to this as well as my pick of the week on the website, on the show notes.
So that people know, it's by Twilight Creations, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And it was out of print for a little bit, but they put out a second edition now.
Okay.
And there are tons of expansions for it. And
because
awesome game.
Always need more zombies.
Really fun, not necessarily, but yeah, and you can buy just bags of the zombie figurines.
Oh, okay.
So to add to it, but anyway, this is October, so I pick the game Zombies.
Good.
All
Maybe
right.
Maybe I should have done a Halloween-y game.
Yeah. Well,
but that
we've got more podcasts in October.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't have a Halloween-y game in my bag under the table.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Let's say you wanted to sell zombies to somebody. How would you do it?
eBay? Craigslist? Oh, yeah. No, I see what you're asking. Okay, so if I'm a game producer,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get the word out about my game,
mm-hmm.
It seems, I mean, all right, back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Or 70s, 80s, that time period. If you turned on the TV, there was a decent chance that you're going to see a commercial for a board game.
You were going to see a commercial for Sorry, or Trouble, or Aggravation, or Gnip Gnop.
Or the one that the nerdier of us older guys remember, guys and gals, excuse me for being sexist, can remember is the awesome commercial for Dark Tower.
That was awesome. It had Orson Welles.
Yeah.
in it. Absolutely. Not just a voiceover. He was in the commercial. Mm-hmm. How awesome is that?
It is awesome. It was a great commercial. It was a lot of fun. A little cheesy, but, you know, that was part of the
commercial.
That was part of the charm of it, honestly. And I still enjoy looking at it on YouTube. So,
but I don't see any commercials for board games anymore. Not even Hungry Hippos or anything like that for kids. I don't really see that.
No, and it's kind of crazy because board games in particular have made the resurgence. They've been making it for a decade now or more. Well, but I mean, they're really hitting a peak right now.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stores like Target and other big box stores like that that are pushing Family Night. And they're really pushing Family Night in their stores, but I haven't really seen it in the commercials, even their own commercials, much less just single commercials for board games.
So where's the marketing money going?
Well, it's got to be going on the internet. That's the only.
Some of it is obviously going on the internet. We've seen some ads.
Yeah.
Some video ads for games that are designed for websites, which makes a certain amount of sense. A sense because, like you pointed out earlier, they can be longer than television commercials.
Longer form ads with a little bit more information. I think they might not hold the attention of people. They might, maybe on the internet, since you clicked on it to watch it.
Well, the biggest problem that I see with it is that you're limiting your market.
Yeah.
Not every household is connected to the net.
And those
it seems
are,
more and more like it that people are, but it's not even a majority yet.
It's not a majority, and there are still a lot of places, even in America, that have slow connections. So they're
or
not
no
be able,
connections.
They're not going to be able to watch your long-form video, and they might not find out about your board game that way. Now, there's plenty of podcasts, and there's plenty of other sites and everything that talk about board games.
Yeah, we're happy to throw people's names out there and get free advertising for them, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
But that... The people that don't know games are not going to go there to find it.
Right.
So they're going to be looking at their normal places and the sites they go to, Facebook, and other things.
Yes, we know your opinion on Facebook.
But, you know, you'd think that they'd want to get some more of this, especially with the rise in popularity. Just get some things onto the television.
You would think. You know. I mean, and hopefully we're going to see that sometime soon. I would like to see the board game commercials come back. I like the idea of board games in particular, you know, hitting more of the mainstream. We kind of, just in our talk earlier, hit on this, that we're not necessarily thrilled about the idea of hobby games hitting the mainstream for multiple reasons, which we'll talk about maybe next time.
Yeah.
But the family games, I definitely think that game companies are missing out on a huge segment of the market.
And personally, I'd like to see a lot more board games advertised on kids' shows than sugar cereal.
Yeah, you know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As much as I love my Honey Smacks. So, I'm just saying.
Okay, well, there's an endorsement for something that, you know, isn't very good for you, but...
Yum!
Then we talked about ecstasy earlier, too. Whee!
Pick your poison.
Pick your poison. All right.
Okay.
Well, I think that does it for this week.
That does do it for this week. And we had our brain flakes. We had our picks of the week. You can find all this stuff in the show notes. We're going to have links to these things.
Mm-hmm.
Leave some comments. If you're a marketer... Leave a comment. Why don't you go on television or some other venue?
There may be a very valid reason for why people aren't putting ads on TV, and we're not aware of it.
I've been in retail and I've been in marketing, and I can see where it'd be scary, but at this point, I kind of think it would be a good idea, but maybe there's something I'm not seeing because I'm not in the business anymore. And it'd be cool if somebody out there knew and they could write in the comments.
Yep, absolutely. We welcome people's comments. Make sure you come back and check on us periodically at www.thediceguys.com.
Thediceguys.com. We've got news and information going up there on a pretty regular basis now, and blog entries of various things. Who knows what might come out of our brains on those.
And way down at the bottom of the page is little things that don't necessarily fit in with everything else, but that caught our interest and we find kind of amusing. So we'll throw a link up down there.
Just throw a link down there without any explanation whatsoever.
Well, very little explanation.
Yeah, very little explanation. Click at your own risk.
Yep.
So until next week.
Keep rolling the dice.
Keep rolling the dice. No, man.
Trying to kill me!